Thank you to Rabbi Milman, to the Kollel, for those who organized it, to Yossi. Where's Yossi back there? He says the same guy as he sat in the back of the classroom. I still sit in the back of the shiroom over there. Things don't change. Things don't change. You take the boy out of high school, can't take high school out of the boy.
Something's changed.
Anyway, thank you for the opportunity. So just to jump into it in our short time. So we know that this year has a unique opportunity. It's 7 out of 12, out of 19 years, we know. The 19 calendar cycle has two Adars, okay? Baruch Hashem, this is one of them. So I want to talk a little bit about what's behind the logic of keeping Purim an Adar Sheni versus Adar Aleph, which Gemara talked about. And we'll take a little bit of a journey into understanding a fascinating discussion on why we don't say Hallel on Purim. Okay, so let's take a look at the first source, famous Mishnah Megillah. Kores the Megillah ba'Adar Rishon, it's Abba Hashana, Kod Oseh ba'Adar Sheni. You're supposed to read, if you read the Megillah in Adar Rishon, and then they decided to make it a Ibu year, to make it a leap year, then you have to read it again in Adar Sheni. This, of course, goes back in the day when they didn't have calendars set, but they would determine by the end of Adar Aleph they wanted to make a second month or not. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, there's going to be a machlekes between their opinions, and they're both learning from the same pasuk. B'chol shana v'shana, says in the Megillah, every single year we celebrate Purim. That was the takana that was made. Rabbi Elazar Yossi says, what does it mean b'chol shana v'shana? Ma kol shana v'shana ado samuk l'shvat. Just like every single year when we celebrate Purim, it's always in the Adar, which is adjacent post Shvat, because Shvat is the 11th month, Adar the 12th month. Afkan, so here too, when you have two Adars, the most important thing is should be Adar Samach L'Shvat. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mersava, B'chol Shana V'Shana, Ma'akol Shana V'Shana, Adar Samach L'Nisan, Afkan Adar HaSamach L'Nisan. Okay, what's behind the Svar, what's behind the logic? So we have Machlokas. So according to the first opinion, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, he says, the Adar Samach L'Shvat, because you have a rule. Ein ma'avim ala mitzvahs. You're not supposed to transpass a mitzvah. You have an opportunity to perform a mitzvah. This has tons of ramifications. A more common one is when you put your talis and your tefillin in the same bag. So halacha says if you touch your tefillin first, you have to put the tefillin on first. Right? You guys know this. If you have to align and set up your talis in your tefillin bag to make sure you touch your talis first. It actually happened to me. Reason I was traveling, so I took my talis and tefillin to put into a smaller traveling bag, and I tried to be conscious of this and aware of this, but somehow when I actually took on the plane, putting on my tefillin, I by mistake took the tefillin bag first. That was it, done. I had to put my tefillin on first, and all the people are looking around me, oh, you put your tefillin on first? So I had all that, because that's Emavi on mitzvah. It has many other ramifications. So that's a standard foundational halachic concept. In halacha, that we always try to do the mitzvah when it comes first. So obviously, it makes sense to say that you're going to put it on in Adar. Put it on. You're going to read Megillah in Adar Rishon. Comes along the second opinion. Shem Gamliel says, No. It's more important. Samach Geula LeGeula. We much rather have to juxtapose the positioning of the Adar of the Geula of Purim next to the Geula of Pesach. It's a nice, beautiful, sensitive, emotional, homiletical idea. It's a very beautiful concept to imagine. Geula to Geula. We go from Purim to Pesach to Geshmak. It brings it all together. It's really, you know, one joy, one some connected. We can't stop dancing. We can't stop eating, obviously. So it all goes together. But how can you make an argument? How can that become a reason to debunk a concept in halacha, which is part of the system forever and ever, which is primary, and has so many other ramifications? We never have a concept of Samach Geula Geula. Yeah, maybe Samach Shemat Galgis Vot Shemat Esrei, but that should override a foundational concept in the halacha of Eim Avil HaMitzvos. What's behind that? It's very interesting. That's number one. Let's take a look now in Gemara Eruchin. This also comes up in the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Eruchin talks about the days that we do and don't say Halal. Right? We know the Chatzi Halal doesn't really have a place in mainstream halacha. Gemara Tainus tells us it was a minog that evolved into an accepted minog over the years. But the Gemara tells us over here, Gemara goes to a list of when you do and don't say, and the Gemara questions why we don't say Halal on Purim. So Purim Ika Nisa Lema. So why don't we say Purim and Halal on Purim? We have three reasons. Number one is because you don't say a miracle, you don't say hallel on an eighth that took place in outside of Eretz Yisrael. So what's the first question that comes to mind? Then what's the first nace that Klal Yisrael celebrated as a nation?
Pesach.
That did not happen in Eretz Yisrael. That was our first nation, national holiday that we celebrated. It's Pesach. That's a nation. That's how they made us into a nation. And it happened in Chutzlo. So the Gemara asked that question. So Maskel of Nachman Yitzchak, where we choose Mitzrayim, the nation of Chutzlo is who? From Minu Hallel. And we say Hallel over and over. We say Hallel in Shul. We say Hallel in the morning. We say Hallel by the Seder. We can't finish saying Hallel. That happened Mamash in the diaspora. So Gemara said, Ketanya, Archa Nichlesu at Yisrael, the Archa Yichshu, Kol Archa Lama Shira. Mish Nichlesu at Eretz, Loi. You're recording it? Okay, I have to line your recording. Vishnichnasu, once we went into Eretz Yisrael, Loch Shukal Asu Lemeshira. Once we, you're right, Kolzman B'nai Yisrael did not enter into Eretz Yisrael, so all we knew was the diaspora. All we knew was Chutzos. We never had a connection except for a far promise from God to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, then to Moshe, then to Klal Yisrael. We never knew what Eretz Yisrael was. We've never seen Eretz Yisrael. So of course, if something happens in our history, in our time, in our lives, that we want a celebration, a cause of a miracle, a cause for celebration, of course we have to say Hallel. But once we've gone into Eretz Yisrael, says the Gemara, all bets off. Now the Jews are really where they belong. Diaspora, sorry guys, ain't cutting it. It's the second. It's second best. Okay. So how do you? So that's reason number one. Reason number two, Mora says, Rav Nachman Amar Kriyasa Zu Helula. The real reason is because Kriyasa, the Kriya of Megillah, the reading of Megillah, is the Hallel. Rav Amar Bishle Mahasam Hallel Avdei Hashem Lo Yavdei Parol. Halchal Avdei Hashem Lo Avdei Achashverosh Takati Avdei Achashverosh Anan. Gemara says the third reason. It says the difference between Pesach and Purim is because Pesach, we were free. We were actually liberated. We were no longer enslaved to Paro. What we were worried about, what we were concerned about, what we needed to be freed from happened in its fullest sense. Of course we're going to celebrate. You know, you talk about, you're making comparison, the difference between, let's say, the freedom of Yetzias Mitzrayim versus the liberation of the concentration camps. Right? Because we don't often consider what Mitzrayim was. You know, we talk about Pesach, we're always celebrating the victory, we're celebrating the freedom, we're celebrating the redemption. We don't ever really talk much about it. We read that part very quick in the Haggadah, the horrific suffering that Klal Yisrael went through. It was a concentration camp. It was Nazi Egypt. But when we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, so we'll pair and say this and that. When we left the Holocaust, when we survived the Holocaust, we were liberated, we were skeletons, there was no great joy because we were still enslaved almost by the mentality and the pressure and the oppression that took place for so many years, still carried with us. We couldn't really celebrate that at all. We were happy to survive. Says the Gemara, same thing with Achashverosh. When we left Ein HaChanami, we were saved from the miracle and we were able to take a little bit of revenge, but we were still under his tyrant rule. We were still enslaved, if we may, to Achashverosh and to that culture. Okay? So the Gemara says, so those are three reasons why. One, because it's diaspora versus Eretz Yisrael. Two, because you're curious in Megillah. And three, because the celebration was not a complete celebration. So the Poysk, the Becha Yosef, the great Chidah, brings down an interesting discussion. So forget about the first reason of the Israel and versus the diaspora. That's a separate reason. He says, what happens if you don't have a Megillah? It's a great Kriyah. Shabbos, Purim. So what do you do? Maybe you should read to say Hallel instead. Person traveling, had to go someplace, they can't find a Megillah, the Megillah's puzzle. What do you do? So you cover all the patentum, have it on the phone, take a chumash, want to make a bracha, just say Hallel. Kriyas to do Elula, Beseder, I understand, when you have a Megillah, you could say Kriyas, you could say the Kriyah, you could read the Megillah. But if you don't have a Megillah, you should omit saying Hallel. So that's what you ask, says the Kriyas Chayayis, the great Chidah, says in the father and third source,
according to Reb Nachman, right?
According to Reb Nachman, yeah.
Because Reb Nachman said that the Megillah is
in place of the Hallel.
So for sure, according to
him. That's how you go.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah,
that's right. The Shaul. So let's take a look. Okay, he's going to bring both sides. Okay? So he says, Ein kon bar hal harafa me'ivi piskop sokov v'shtav tazvav kos l'tam kriy asuzu halula im ein lo Megillah yoy mahalel. If you don't have Megillah, then you should say Hallel. But if you saw the last reason, because we're still enslaved to Achashverosh, then you wouldn't say Hallel. Okay? Then he adds, Umestima divya poiskim mashma de ein bar hala olam. He said, really, if you take a look at the way that the poiskim don't discuss it, they omit this option. Very often, not only do we learn halacha from what is said, but you can also extract halacha from what's not said. And if the fact that the poiskim don't discuss this as an option, it must be that it's not an option. None of the mainstream poiskim, the earlier poiskim say, hey, what about what happens if you don't have a Megillah? What do you do? Say hala. By the fact that they leave that out, it must be that's not really called and considered an option. Okay? That's what the Chido wants to say. And therefore, you don't say it. Take over this quickly. See, take a look at the Rambam on the other side. And the Rambam Taka says, The Rambam says that indeed, we do follow the opinion of Nachman. That seems to be the main reason. And therefore, we would replace Megillah, if we don't have Megillah, we would replace it with Halal. So you have the Chida telling us a fascinating machlokas, a big enough gemara to the two opinions, whether the reason why we initially, in essence, don't say Halal on Purim, is it because the Kriyas and Megillah is in place of Halal, or is it because of we are still, the freedom and the liberation was not a complete liberation? So the Meiri said, the Chida said, based on the Rishayim, there's an afkamina if you don't have a Megillah. And the Meiri, the Chida himself, Taka seems to say that you would not say it. The Chida seems to end up that you don't add Halal even if you don't have a Megillah. You do nothing, take a Chumash, take an art scroll, do what you can. The Rambam seems to say not like that. So what's behind, it's interesting, the Mechida has a great vort, by the way, just to get to hear it. He says that a remez, that we don't say halal on Purim, is because based on the first Mishnah. First Mishnah in Megillah, Masech and Megillah tells us that there are 5 days we can read Megillah, right? Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tetzvah. Those are 5 days. If you add those numbers, Yud Aleph, 11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15 equals 65. What's 65? The Gemachi of Halal. So therefore he says that you find that that's why Mikra Megillah is in place of the Halal. So it's the Chidol L'Shitosai that you don't do it. We only hold that, we only follow the Pesach, that Mikra Megillah is the main theme of the day. If you don't say Halal, you don't say Halal. So how do we understand though, indeed, again, why we're so focused on saying Mikra Megillah and why Halal can't take the place? Because logically you would say that's what makes more sense. Yeah, we recognize it's a celebration, we recognize it's a chag. You prefer to do Mikra Megillah. If you can't, okay, so go to plan B, say Halal. Don't skip the appreciation, don't skip the message to God, don't skip the celebration to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the first tier, it's not the best way, I get it, but don't omit it. So what's behind? So perhaps we can answer based on an sieve. A famous idea, but just to develop within the context of what we're discussing. So it says, "Kfar yidua the shame yuke vavke meirah shemahave hakol v'kol halicha hateva b'chlal." Because Baruch Hu runs the entire world. The gam espire le'el b'hashem shemos become mekaymus. The shidu hateva b'neis nigla b'bashem adnus mashenkin be'eish shabah b'ashkoch and esteres halote b'teva. He says that the idea, there's two different types of names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and each one represents a different level of relationship. In Mikol Mokom, even, and one of them is the revealed miracles that happen, and one of them is the concealed miracles. One of them is Nes Nigla, and one of them is the Nes of Teva. One of them is the one which we can see and appreciate it, and the ones which we have to try to find them. Mikol Mokom, Mikol Nes, nonetheless, even that which we call nature is called a miracle. Kama Shekotzer Rambam, Pashas Eira, and then he says in brackets, he puts in brackets, but it's a very important word. When we say Maidim, it's not true. We don't have miracles every single day. What are you talking about? You know what the word Nes really means? What do you know what the word Nes really means from Navi? A sign, a banner. Right? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Nes, he says, here I am, folks. I'm waving my banner. You'll see me loud and clear. You'll hear me. You know I'm here. That's what a Nes means. When a miracle happens and you see the Yad Hashem in its full glory and the power of the hand of God is revealed to the world and to us, we say, wow, that's a miracle. But what about B'chol Yoyim V'Yoyim? We say it 3 times a day. What does it mean? Nisachar Yoyim V'Yoyim? You don't see miracles every single day. We don't have Yitzhak Mitzrayim every single day. And the answer says in the tip, because that's the nes of Teva. That's the nes of nature. The nes of nature is the foundation before you can truly appreciate and value the nace of the revealed miracles. You have to be numb to inspiration. If you experience a miracle of disproportionate amount that's so clear that the hand of God is being revealed to you, that the voice of God is speaking to you, if you can just sit back and ignore that and not feel that, not connect with that, then you're numb to inspiration. You're not focusing on the reality of what's happening. You're in denial of the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. It's not hard to celebrate the open miracle. It's not hard to appreciate when something comes your way out of the ordinary, something you were hoping to get and you had no chance of getting, and all of a sudden it fell into your lap, and we all, then you can recount all the miracles and all the details, how it happened, what led me to that place, and boom, I met that person, and I saw that guy, and he asked me about this, I wasn't expecting it, I thought about it, and all of a sudden it happened. Wow, Yad Hashem, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's the celebration of Pesach. That's the revealed miracle where there wasn't a step that the Jews lived from the time of Kadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe to be made to Klai Yisrael, from the time that the plagues began, there wasn't a level of life that we were living that was not miraculous. Through the desert, through the Midbar, the Mun, the Shlav, the food, the Mayim, everything was supernatural. There was no world of natural. They didn't know what natural relationship with God meant. They had no idea what it meant. Everything was supernatural. But then comes a time in history where things shifted. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said that my relationship with you is no longer going to be about the revealed miracles. I wanted and darned you as such. I connected you as such. I showed you what I'm capable of doing. But now we go back to life. Now we go back to Nisecha B'chol Yoyim V'yoyim. Now we begin to connect with ourselves in a way when things don't seem to go our way. When things happen in our day-to-day life where we don't necessarily see the Yad Hashem, where we're not cognizant and aware, where he's not knocking on our door and saying, here I am, can't you see me? It's not so obvious, it's not so clear. And sometimes things don't necessarily even go our way. The Yad Hashem is still there. Don't imagine for a second, says the Netziv, says the Ramban, that it's not everything is being coordinated by organized. You know, I had the other day my lease, Yad Hashem, the last day of my lease in my car, it was overheating like a week before, a couple of times. I had to pull over here and there. And then twice I'm overheating and I couldn't get even up the canyon road halfway through. So Min HaShemayim, I happened to be, my much, they stopped right outside the fire station. Didn't even realize it where I pulled over. The fire guy came over. Wonderful people, by the way. Station 108. Let's give a shout out. And the guy came in and he, what's going on? Let me help you. They took me, he stopped the traffic. He brought me into the, I parked my car there, brought me into, gave me something to drink. Do you want to watch TV? Do you want to watch music? I said, well, how long can I stay? It was like, it was unbelievable. Meanwhile, one of my students happened to be driving by, his father's driving by. He sees me, pulls over 100 feet ahead of me. I hadn't his number. I couldn't coordinate with him. I couldn't talk to him. I parked my car. I want to say to him, wait, don't go away. He drove away ready. So on one hand, again, this great Yad Hashem, this miraculous fire guy is coming out of nowhere. Helping me, being nice to me, taking care of me, and my best friend, my buddy, I taught three of his kids, and he's out of here, right? Not his fault, he didn't know what was going on. Yad Hashem, like, what is this? Like, what are you? Are you helping me, not helping you? What's happened? I had to end up Uber home. My wife had to come back there to meet the AAA. That's a nice. So it's like all these things that kept happening is like, it was a weird scenario. It was like confusing to me. You ever think what the people were going through like in Purim? What it was like to see on one hand, you have Haman, the second in charge, convincing the king to kill his wife, and the fear and trepidation that must have put into the hearts of Klal Yisrael at that time. And next thing we know, Esther becomes the new wife of the king, and then Haman's on top of them, Mordechai sitting by Shar Melech. And could you imagine? How long did the Purim story take? Yeah. Not the Purim story. It was years. We read the story like 6 months, 8 months, 12 years probably, historically speaking. Can you imagine the trepidation and the up and down anxiety? I mean, I could have made a killing on that time. The anxiety of what was happening in Kleist at that time, of all the things that are happening, it was mind-boggling. We don't realize, it's like exactly like now. And I said years ago, we are reliving the 20th century, 21st century now version of the Purim story. We have no idea what's going on. That's Teva. That's the nace of Teva. The nace of Teva says to us that there's a Yad Hashem in everything. We don't read Hallel on Purim because that's not what we're celebrating. We don't want to read Hallel according to those opinions on Purim because we're not celebrating the open miracle. We have an obligation to compel ourselves, to force ourselves, to obligate ourselves to constantly read the nace of Purim in our daily life. You know what the word Megillah means? Megaleh. What's Megaleh mean? To reveal. Which our life is about revealing the Yad Hashem through Teva, not through miracles. Because we don't live B'chol Yom B'Yom, the miracles of Pesach. We live B'chol Yom, the miracles of Purim. And that's pshat why we that opinion holds. We don't read the Megillah. We don't read Hallel in place of Megillah. If you can't do the Megillah the way it should be done, then figure it out. But don't don't default to the regular good old super celebration of Hallel, because then you're missing the boat of what the theme of Purim is all about. And that's pshat Samach Geula L'Geula. You're 100% right. Of course, halachically speaking, we should favor the side and the opinion of reading it right after Shvat because we want to aim our view on mitzvah. Of course, halachically speaking, but if you don't have this fundamental, foundational understanding of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a nace. That our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sometimes the nace of Purim and sometimes it's the nace of Pesach. It's the two hands of God. It's the nace of the revealed hand of God and it's the nace of the concealed hand of God, but it's the same God. And if we're not living in that world, then the mitzvahs are secondary. If we're not living in the place where we can wake up every single morning and appreciate what we have, when we nisach b'chol yom v'yom, and we could see the things which are questionable, on one hand things look great, on the other hand things look terrible, sometimes things look so terrible, you lose your fantasy football game, Lo Aleinu, right? Things can be really bad for Klal Yisrael. So things happen to us at times where we don't understand what's happening, we can't see why things are happening. That's our avodah, to be megaleh the Yad Hashem. And that's why some are geula l'geula. That's why we put Purim next to Pesach, because that's the life we have to live. We can't separate the two. The moment we separate the two, we're not living the life of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's life. We're not living the world of Torah Jews. We're not living a world where mitzvahs are really impacting us. You want to keep the mitzvah called kavod, but if you're not seeing the Yad Hashem in everything you do, nisach b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, then you're really not living that life. And that's the message of this year's Purim, to be some of geula geula, to celebrate this year's Purim of Adar Sheni, the Kriyas Megillah next to Pesach, to make sure that we understand that everything we do is two separate types of miracles, one type of God. Thank you for listening. You're going to send it to me now.
Don't forget the breakfast.